Father, may our love for you be demonstrated by our commitment to walk in the truth of your Son, Jesus, and in the light of his word. May you, and you only, be put first in our heart and mind so that we will be led by the Spirit of truth. As we look into your word, may our hearts and minds be attentive to what your word will say to us, and may we obediently follow for your honor and glory and our joy. Amen. We are continuing our letters sermon series by considering John's message in his second letter. 5 chapters in his first letter, 13 verses in his second. 2 John is the shortest New Testament letter. Chuck Swindoll considers it a postcard. Pastor Steve began this series by asking, "When was the last time you received or wrote a letter?" In an age of texts and Instagram, my question is, when is the last time you sent or received a postcard? 1 John was circulated to the house churches all around Ephesus. 2 John was sent to the lady chosen by God and to her children. While there is some discussion whether John was writing to a particular woman and her family, the general consensus of commentators is that he was writing to a particular house church in Ephesus. It could be likened to Pastor Matt or I sending a word of encouragement to all of our life groups in our church family, in the case of 1 John, or to a specific life group in the case of 2 John. Pastors Steve and Matt introduced us to the key themes in 1 John. Take sin seriously. Take who Jesus is seriously. And take the call to love your brothers and sisters in Christ seriously. Light and darkness, love and truth are key words in John's writings. The word truth occurs 20 times in John's letters, 5 times in the first 4 verses of 2 John. And I want to focus on what John is communicating when he uses the word truth. In John's Gospel, chapter 18, Jesus is on trial before Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate is questioning Jesus as to whether or not he is the king of the Jews. And Jesus states that his kingdom is not of this world, to which Pilate responds, "You are a king then." And Jesus then states, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate retorts, "What is truth?" The answer to Pilate's question is still debated. Some of you will remember the scene from the movie A Few Good Men, starring Tom Cruise as Lieutenant Daniel Caffey and Jack Nicholson as Colonel Nathan R. Jessup. Caffey is a rookie military lawyer who has to defend a couple of Marines accused of murder. They claimed they were acting on orders. Jessup is the tough guy Marine officer who wants the whole affair covered up. In one climactic scene, when Caffey is getting nowhere and interrogating Jessup, he finally yells, "I want the truth." Jessup shouts back, "You can't handle the truth." I believe that deep down, each one of us wants to know the truth. At a basic level, truth is that which corresponds to reality. When it is 36 degrees Celsius outside, like last Sunday, we say it is hot. It's a surface level truth. It is truth telling, and truth telling is foundational to life. A statement is either true or false. It can't be both. Either you made your bed or you didn't. Parents teach their children to tell the truth and punish them when they don't, to make a point about the importance of being truthful. John wants us to know the answer to the question, what is truth? But for John, truth goes much deeper than truth-telling. Truth is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. John believes we can know the truth, and the truth is Jesus. In the first two verses of our text, John writes, "To the lady chosen by God, and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever." In his gospel, John clearly identifies Jesus as the truth, or possessing truth. The Word, who came from the Father, is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. A couple of verses later in verse 18, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself declares in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." For John, Jesus the Messiah is God incarnate, the full revelation of God. Truth is the truth about Jesus. It is the truth represented by his decision to come to earth, take the form of a man, show us God in the flesh, and die for our sins. For John, truth is the gospel. That is the good news about Jesus. Truth is personal. Truth is, in fact, a person. If you want to understand truth, study Jesus in word and action. If you want to know truth, seek Jesus. Discover him as God incarnate, creator, savior of the world, gracious redeemer, lover of each person. Disciples in the first century did not simply study a body of knowledge. They studied to be like their teacher, following him everywhere, living with him, craving to be like him. The teacher was the lesson. If we are Jesus' disciples in the true sense of the word, then we'll know the truth. We'll know his character, his teaching, his sacrifice, and we will imitate him. If you want to know the truth, John says, seek Jesus, know him, receive him as Savior, and you will know the truth. John also makes the point that the truth lives in us. It could also be translated that we are invited to abide in the truth. Keep on seeking Jesus. Don't seek doubt. Seek Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Join him in his mission of redemption. Commit yourself to a lifelong journey of discovering the fullness of God revealed in Jesus. Our salvation is at stake. Know Jesus. Know the truth. Well, not only can we know the truth, but John expresses his great joy that some of the children of this particular home church are walking in the truth. Walking is active. You are moving forward, heading towards a goal. Eleanor and I enjoy active vacations where we explore the areas that we visit. We have frequently visited the Oregon coast in years past, and we've walked many beaches. Eleanor almost always wants to walk around the next point. We'll see just what's around the corner. Eugene Peterson titled his book on Christian discipleship, "A Long Obedience in the Same Direction." In John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching," that is a lifelong commitment to knowing Jesus, "if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," says Jesus. If we think further about Jesus' "I am" statement in John 14:6, we recognize that all three words, way, truth, and life, are significant and certainly took on special meaning in the early church. In much of Acts, what we call the church was referred to as the way. Way means a path or a journey. For Jesus to be the way is to declare that he is the path, the only path to God his Father. We've already discovered that truth is not only what is true about Jesus, but Jesus himself is the truth. If we walk in the truth, we will discover that Jesus is the life. He holds the way to eternal life. He experienced death, and his resurrection life means that a time is coming when death will never again be experienced. To walk in the truth is to enter eternal life. John included what we refer to as Jesus' high priestly prayer in his gospel in chapter 17. In that prayer, Jesus prays, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Verse 17. Jesus, as the Logos, is of course the Word, and that may well be the meaning he is conveying in his prayer. It's only the work of Jesus that sanctifies us. Scripture, however, is God's revealed Word and is worthy of our study. It will lead us to Jesus and a full understanding of God the Father. Scriptures are full of wisdom for living. To walk in the truth is also to be people of the book. Our commitment as a church family to be reading through the Bible this year demonstrates that we value submission to Scripture. Reading Scripture will help guard our steps. It will help us to know, love, and follow Jesus. It is our obedience to the commands of Jesus, most significantly our love for one another, a theme throughout John's letters and highlighted in both Pastor Steve's and Matt's preaching, that is a sign that we are in fact walking in the truth. John can't say it enough, and we can't hear it enough. Walk in the truth. Love one another. Former Bible scholar and teacher David Ewart was asked if he was ever worried about repeating himself in his teaching or sermons. I loved his response. "No," he said, "I depend on the forgetfulness of the saints." John, in his writing, was maybe depending on the forgetfulness of his audience. Perhaps Matt, Steve, and I are as well, as it is true that when we live out the truth through our obedience to the commands of Jesus, loving one another, we bear witness to the reality that we know the truth. We know Jesus as the one who is the truth. We are the children of God. It is unsettling to note that John indicates that some of your children are walking in the truth, meaning some have fallen away and entertained false teaching and now are trying to influence other believers. And so John calls on this group that is gathered to defend the truth. In verse 7 of our text, John moves from being encouraged by those who know and walk in the truth to the treachery and deception that lurks just outside the church's doors. There are individuals who have left the church, taken up residence in the world, and spread false teaching. The critical question that is being faced by this group of Christ followers is about Jesus, the Messiah, actually coming in the flesh. For Jesus to be fully divine and fully human was a scandalous idea in the ancient world, and it is still a scandalous idea. The incarnation, the Word, the Logos becoming flesh is foundational to the gospel. John speaks of Jesus as coming in the flesh in the present tense. Gary Burge, in his commentary, states that this is John's way of saying that Jesus Christ came and still exists in the flesh. In other words, through the incarnation, Jesus swept up our humanity and carried it with him eternally. End of quote. John is contradicting the Gnostic teachers of the day who taught that the divine Christ descended on Jesus at his baptism and departed just before his crucifixion, maintaining a complete separation between the divine Christ and the earthly Jesus. John teaches the ongoing reality of the incarnation even in the present. John, as a builder and contributor to the life of this congregation, does not want them to lose what they have gained in knowing and walking in the truth. The incarnate Christ is the only person through whom we come to know God. John goes so far as to encourage the faithful followers of Jesus to limit their fellowship. No hospitality should be extended to those people who hold to such false teaching and are infiltrating and trying to persuade others to join them. John is using the plural in verse 10. He is referring to a group of people coming into the gathering of the church for the purpose of promoting their cause. This is a hard teaching, and it's difficult to know where to draw the line today. John was speaking into a situation where false teachers were undermining the foundational understanding of the person and the work of Jesus the Messiah. Today, apologetic conferences and debates help us understand others' points of view and provide the opportunity to bear witness to the truth about Jesus. This text is a reminder to us to be careful about who we allow to preach. It is a reminder that we are to be discerning. It is a reminder to be careful about the teaching we expose ourselves to. In our pluralistic age, we need to stand firm on Peter's statement to the Sanhedrin about the crucified, risen Jesus in Acts 4 and verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. In our relativistic age, where truth is what one person believes and my truth may have no bearing on your truth, we stand with John and declare that we can know the truth. It's discovered in the person of Jesus. And as we get to know Jesus, we can walk in the truth and find the abundant, whole, complete, godly, life-giving truth that he wants us to live in. John in this letter has invited us to know the truth, to walk in the truth, and to defend the truth. May we continue to grow in understanding of what is truth. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that was written by Janine Ewing. It's a prayer to seek truth. Join me as I close with her prayer, and may it be the prayer of each one of us. Lord, help me to seek truth today, to find it in places and people I wouldn't otherwise notice. Teach me that in truth there is wisdom and understanding. May seeking truth help me overcome my fears and frustrations. Lord, help me to strive for truth in all that I do today, that my thoughts, words, and actions may reflect your goodness. Show me that only in truth will I be free, to live honestly and courageously, to love wholeheartedly and unconditionally. Lord, help me to cherish truth, knowing that you are the author of all that is beautiful, good, and true. May truth reign in my heart no matter what I encounter today, lies, mockery, confusion, or betrayal. Your truth gives me clarity and peace. Lord, you created truth. You are the truth. Help me to know the truth when I see it. Learn truth when I am taught it. Love truth. Live truth. Help me to share truth with others today, those who are lost and lonely, the brokenhearted and weary, anyone who is suffering from visible or invisible pain. When I am a son or daughter of truth, I am free to be fully alive, fully myself, and an honest reflection of you. Truth leads to greater knowledge, compassion, understanding, respect, charity, and excellence in all virtues. Truth strengthens me, guides me, leads me, protects me, keeps me. I am constant when I dwell in your truth. I am unafraid of what I may face. I am vigilant and poised for speaking, the witness of who you are in truth. Amen.